Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. I'm Sam Roberts. With me is our co-host, Clint Ritchie. And we are so grateful that you've chosen to join us again for another episode of Missionize with the Mission Guys. We also want to thank you for comments that you've left with us. For those of you who follow along, if this is your first time listening, hey, please do us a big favor. Give us a like there on whatever platform you're listening to this episode. Go back and listen to some others. Leave some evaluation. Give us a rating. Follow. We would love to have you on board. And then for those of you who do tune in every couple of weeks to listen to what we've got to say and find it encouraging and supportive for your ministry, hey, would you do us a big favor? Would you reach out and tell some other folks about Missionize and share a segment, share a episode that has really helped you? Share that with someone else. We happen to believe that most of what we say is important for the local church. there are some times when we question that, but we're just grateful to have you along with us for the ride. Hey, Clint, here we are. By the time this episode is going to drop, we're a month and a half, 2 months in to a new school year. And I know with most of our churches, we've talked about this on other episodes of the podcast, the importance of connecting with the local church and the local church with the local school, and how in many of our contexts as pastors in smaller communities or maybe a little larger rural community, that school is kind of the hub of everything that happens in the community. And it's important for us as pastors to have relationship with people within the school. I've also noticed something. I just went through a list of all of our church planters, and then I started thinking about a lot of other pastors that we have in our state. And man, I'm blown away, Clint, by the number of church planters and the number of pastors who either the planter themselves is an educator or in teaching, administration, or their spouse is an educator. We've got, in those 30-something planters, more than half were either teaching themselves as their co-vocation, bivocational responsibilities. They were administrator in a local school, or their spouse was. And it may even be more than that, but I just found that incredible.
Yeah, I had not thought about that in relation to the planters. Of course, I know we've got a lot of our pastors' wives that teach and are involved in the educational system. But once you said that, it made me think of a couple pastors that also are exactly in the school system. I guess they just didn't have enough stress in their life. You know what? Let's just get the next best thing. Yes. Yeah.
Or be an administrator, you know, in the local school. Well, with that, you know, here we are. Like I said, a month and a half, 2 months in, you've probably done the prayer walking, you know, around the campus. You may have done backpack giveaway at the beginning of the semester. You've had a special recognition service for your teachers and educators there on a Sunday morning. You've commissioned them to go out as missionaries in the mission field. You've prayed for them. You've had the first Friday night football game at the stadium. You know, as a pastor, you may have been asked to give a prayer. I don't know. Or one of your students led in that prayer. By the time this episode drops, You have already experienced, see you at the poll, saw you at the poll, yeah. You know, all of those sort of things that we typically do. Here's what we want to do today. We want to encourage you as church leaders. We're grateful for everything that you have done at the beginning of a semester of a new school year to pray for, to support, to encourage at the beginning of the year. We want to encourage you to see this ministry you have with your educators and the local school system as a continual ministry, not just something we do at the beginning of a semester, but to see the importance, the need of having a continual presence and prayer being a continual part of the rhythm of the church, especially for the local school administrators, teachers, students. And so what we're going to do today, we have an article by Chuck Lawless that's entitled Seven Reasons We Need to Pray for Teachers and Five Steps to Take. And we're going to kind of walk through this. A lot of this stuff you already know, but I think it's a great reminder to us, Clint, as pastors, church leaders, of the importance of an ongoing, continual ministry of prayer, support, encouragement to our local school system.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I'll just say we use a lot of Chuck's stuff. He is one of the best out there. If somebody wants to point us to another blog, we're open to suggestions. But we'll link this in the show notes and do appreciate all that he writes. And like you said, these things were a good reminder as we look through. And so let's jump in here. Number one reason is to say the teacher may be the most stable adult in the life of some students.
How true that is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't know what kids face at home. Some of that is more public than others, and so you may know, you know, usually it's a small percentage of the kids that you may know some of the trials they're going through, but we don't know what the average child is facing at home. And, you know, it may be that the only affirmation they receive, the only love that's demonstrated to them, the only time they see grace and patience is through that teacher. And so that may be the most consistent adult in their life. And so we need to pray for these folks that they would continue just to be that stable influence and to point these students to the Lord as they're doing that.
Yeah, that's just one of those reasons why we need to pray for our teachers. You know, kids are facing so much today. Situations, like you said, Clint, we have no idea the home life, the situation these kids are coming from. Many perhaps come from single-parent families. Nothing negative, okay, just about being a single parent. A lot of great single parents out there that are really caring for their family and doing the best they can, but there are struggles that go along with that. That they may come from a family where mom and dad are both there, but mom and dad are both working, you know, and they have very little time of interaction, you know, with their children. And some may even work at night, and that's a parent away. It's great that we have Christian teachers who provide that stable stability for our kids to see, here's an adult that cares for me, that's investing in me.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, we just remember our demographic in Arkansas. You know, if we say about 60% of our state is unchurched, I mean, you think about if you just carry that and go, then 60% of our students are living in homes that are unchurched, living with lost parents. And, you know, lost people act like lost people. And so this is a great opportunity for teachers to be that stable influence, and I believe the church needs to come alongside and pray for them as they do that.
Yeah, and number two is this. Chuck says, many are trying to be a Christian witness in a lost world. They want to be a Christian witness to their colleagues, to fellow teachers, to administrators, to students, to the parents. And many times they find themselves in a situation where they are far outnumbered.
That's right.
They are the minority at that school. So for that reason, they need our continual prayers. What's number three?
Many are working multiple jobs to pay their bills. Even in our state, teacher pay has been able to be, starting teacher pay has been able to be increased, but, the cost of everything is going up as well. And so there's an added stress in the life of teachers. It's hard for them to focus on their job when many times they're thinking about what can they do to make ends meet, or they're knowing that when they finish that day at work, they have another job to go to, or maybe even I know some of them, they tutor after hours.
Yeah.
And so really they end one teaching job to go to another teaching job. And so I think it's something for us to remember that many are working multiple jobs just to pay the bills.
And number four is this: many feel a genuine call to teach. They stay in the public school system, Chuck says, out of obligation to their calling. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can go with this, guys. But there are individuals in your churches who feel that teaching is their calling from God, that this is how I'm going to live out my Christian faith. This is how I'm going to be light in the darkness. And we understand that calling, and I hope that as pastors, as leaders, we support that calling. So many feel a genuine call to teach. Now, one thing that I want to talk about just for a few moments before we go any further, there's more and more options available today for parents with the education of their children. Whenever I was a kid, when I was growing up, the only option you had was public school.
Yeah.
I don't remember a private school being in Mark Tree, Arkansas. Now, maybe some other towns had private schools, a Catholic school, parochial school, but we didn't have that option. It was public school system, was the option. But today, parents are able to choose, where they're going to send their kids. And one thing that's been noted by many others is that has a tendency from time to time, Clint, to cause some division within the church.
Yeah.
Homeschooling, private school, public school. And sometimes, and guys, this is just a caution that I really want you to listen to. Sometimes we can be overly critical of one over the other, or favor one over the other. And if we're highly critical of public school, which many of our teachers feel a calling to go into, to take the gospel of Jesus into a dark setting, into a mission field, and we demonize the local school, then we're not supporting the calling, teacher has said God has placed upon their life.
Yeah, you're right. So served in an area, of course, where there were several private school options, and those are the easier schools to minister to, by the way, because most of the time, they want you there. It's an openness to pastors and to churches as a whole. But there was also, I would see public school teachers and had conversations with some of those that stayed in failing school districts that hardly anybody that, from our church was in, and would ask, why don't you look for something else? And they would go back to the calling that God had placed on their life to that particular school, but really those particular kids.
Oh, that's good. And here's the thing I think to remember. If you choose to favor homeschooling or private education for your children, or you've got a whole lot of folks in the church that choose that, don't make public school the enemy, because public school is not the enemy. Public school is a mission field.
That's right.
And we need to look at public school as the mission field, and many of our teachers look at it that way, that this is an opportunity that I have. Many parents look at it that way as well, and that's why they still have their children in public school, not because of the cost, you know, that's associated with other options, but because this is a way to be salt and light in a dark world.
That's right.
So don't look at it as the school as a enemy, but as the mission field.
That's right. The fifth reason that we should pray for teachers is that teaching can be a dangerous vocation. You know, when we're recording this, it's first the school year has just happened a couple weeks in, and there's been multiple threats on college campuses specifically, but even you know, shooting yesterday at a small private school, of course, out of state. But, you know, we see that school shootings have become, sadly, a common occurrence over the last few years. You know, I was hearing something on the radio driving in today. They were talking about the West Side shooting. And, you know, that was just something you couldn't fathom.
Exactly.
You know, however many years ago that's been now, 30 years ago. But now it's just become almost routine. You're not shocked by hearing that anymore. And so, you know, Chuck makes a statement. I doubt if any teachers went to school that day assuming their lives would be on the line. But it is a dangerous vocation. It's a dangerous calling, to go back to that phrase. And so we need to pray God's protection for our teachers. And it's not just physical. Yes, that is the danger part in today's world. But the emotional damage, the way they are attacked verbally and not supported by parents, and to me, that's just as great of a danger.
Yeah.
And that eventually, when you get beat up those ways, you know, verbally, emotionally, eventually that can impact you spiritually. And so we need to be praying the Lord's protection for our teachers, because that is a dangerous vocation.
And then number six is this. Teaching can be a lonely job, and he gives two reasons for that. He says your students' parents don't seem to care, number one, and number two, your teaching colleagues have lost their joy. And because of that, it can be a lonely job to be that Christian educator in a dark environment. So for that reason, make sure that we're continually praying for our missionaries we send out to the mission field of the local school.
And the last reason is that many of us can point to a teacher whose influence changed our lives.
And with that, I guarantee you the folks who are listening right now, they're going back to a person.
Oh, yeah. No
Every
doubt.
One of us going no back doubt. To a person.
No doubt. I love at the end of a school year, you'll see the graduating class for a lot of districts present an award. I know it's just a small certificate that they go give, you know, to five teachers usually is the max, and they get to go and maybe they read a letter or they tell that teacher why they were given or why they are given this award to them. And it's an encouraging time for that teacher. And I think it's a monumental time in the life of that student as they're wrapping up their educational experience to look back and see. And you know, I don't know about you, Dr. Sam, but I think about that every year. If it was five, I'd have a hard time choosing the five.
Yeah, you and
me know,
both.
The which five would I give it to? And you know, we can all point to teachers that have changed our life, and for many of our school teachers, that's why they teach, is they want to have that same influence in the lives of other students.
And who was that for you, Clint? Give me a name.
You know, again, there's so many. But one I come back to, I had Linda Langford in the seventh grade. Miss Langford passed away in the last year. But what really stands out is I had her actually for two classes. I think English and maybe history, something like that. But I don't remember anything she taught me. Mm. But when I preached my first sermon as a seventh grader, she was sitting in the congregation. She was a pastor's wife, and she had gotten wind that that was happening, and she came to our church that Sunday night to hear that seven-minute sermon.
That's awesome.
And talked about it, you know, every time we had a conversation from there to the end of her life.
Yeah. You know, I think back, and there are a couple of, like you, Clint, there are so many individuals who helped to shape and form, you know, me into who I am today. I've got two that were just incredible in public school system. It was Coach Charlie Williams, who was our baseball coach, who just took a vested interest in me. Now, Charlie was a member of another denomination, but, you know, he took the time to invest in me, and he spoke about Jesus and spoke about the church and just so positive. And then there was Miss Linda Hallmark, just an incredible, incredible lady who I still follow today on social media, and we talk back and forth. And she's just as much of an encourager now as she was then, you know. Yeah. I think that was the sixth or seventh grade, you know, when I had her. I think she's the only teacher I ever got a paddling from. Now, I got in some trouble with some others, but the only one that actually in the hallway, you know, with the paddle, but boy, I sure respected that, Miss Hallmark. You know, many of us can point to a teacher whose influence changed our lives. And so as you pray for your teachers, know that they're influencing the lives of young children. Yeah. They're going to guide them, and some will become pastors and teachers and deacons in churches and ministry leaders and missionaries and just good people, though. So now with all of those, with those seven reasons we need to pray for teachers, Chuck gives us five steps that we can take right now. So with Clint, why don't you walk through again, just mention those seven reasons, and then we'll look at these five steps that we can take.
All right. Reason number one is these teachers may be the most valuable adult in the life of a student. They're trying to be a Christian witness in a lost world. They're working multiple jobs. Many are working multiple jobs to pay their bills. Fourthly, many feel a genuine call to teach. And that is can be a dangerous vocation. It can be a lonely job. And then lastly, many of us can point to a teacher whose influence changed our lives.
And so what can we do? Well, number one is this. If you are a parent or grandparent, say a prayer for the teachers of your family members. Just right now, those of you listening, parent, grandparent, hopefully you know the names of the teachers of your children and grandchildren. Just voice a prayer for them right now.
And I would say, too, as you get to know your kids' teachers and you identify that they are a believer, that's a way to really go deep in praying for them.
Yes.
You know, you're able to communicate that freely. I would expect that's well received. And, you know, everybody's struggling. Everybody has needs. And, you know, a lot of those teachers, they're bringing, like we've talked about, some burdens because of the job, but also some burdens that just come with life. And if they have somebody that they could ask for specific prayer to, I really think that'll make a difference as they teach. Along those same lines, he also says to pray for at least one other Christian teacher you know today. So not just those that your kids or grandkids have, but somebody else that you could pray for. And, you know, I do that. A lot of folks I know come through the years, especially for coaches. When I know of a coach that is playing a game, I just, you know, if I know their schedule or I just see it, Friday night football's coming, that's easier. There's not as many games. But, you know, I pray that that coach you know, I'll be honest, some of those guys, I pray that they would win. But, you know, pray that they would just use their platform for ministry, but also that they would that they would just model Christ and as they lead their team that day.
Another step you can take is send a note of prayer to a teacher. What an encouragement that is if you just get if that teacher just gets a note that says, hey, just want you to know, this week I've been praying for you, and maybe include a scripture. Now, if that teacher is not a believer, what an awesome opportunity a prayer card is to say, hey, we believe in Jesus, and we believe in taking everything to him in prayer, so I'm praying for you as you go through this school year.
Yeah, along those same lines is to challenge your church or your small group to join you in these prayers for teachers. I would encourage you, if you're interested in having a connection with the school, even adopting a school, we have a page on our website under the missions team and then ministries. It's called Adopt a School. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that talks about there is how your church could adopt specific teachers to pray for. And so, you know, while a teacher will be encouraged by a note from you, if you have multiple people in your church writing those notes to multiple teachers, just imagine, I really think it can change the culture of a church, or excuse me, of a school.
Of a school, yeah, exactly. And the final step is this. Pray for more Christian laborers among public school systems in your area. You know, Jesus taught us to pray for the laborers, the workers for the harvest field. And so when we look at the public school system as a mission field, let's pray that God calls out more and more followers of Jesus to enter that mission field, just like we're praying that God would call out our young boys and girls that are going through RAs and GAs to be missionaries and go to the mission field on an international culture. Let's pray as well that God calls out even more to enter the mission field of the local school system. So there you have it. 7 reasons we need to pray for teachers, 5 steps to take in the process. Clint, how do you want to close us out on this episode?
Well, you know, I would just say Chuck finishes his article by saying, thank you, teachers. You have my respect. Mm. And I would say the same thing, but I would encourage our church leaders, go thank a teacher. And then I really hope if some of our teachers in the past were to listen to this, that they're not sitting there shaking their head going, I taught him better than that. So, hey, thank you guys for listening. Look forward to seeing many of you hopefully here at the end of the month at our annual meeting as we celebrate God's work in Arkansas through the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.